We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, Facebook Live. Hello, YouTube, and all of our podcast listeners out there. We love you. We love to hear from you. We are in the third week. Everybody said third week of our God of Fun series. Everyone said God of Fun. In week one, we told you that God created fun. You ought to equate the word fun to God, and usually we don't. We think God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, God is Jesus, and all those things are absolutely correct, but we want to add to that list that God is a God of fun. He created you for fun. He created this world, this fun, imaginative, awesome world, and then he gave you all the senses that you needed to experience that world. That's what we talked to you about in week one, and here we are in week three, and I want to talk to you today about laughter. Is laughter a good thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is cheerfulness a good thing?
Yes.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." A cheerful heart is good medicine. Maybe what you need today is some cheer.
All right.
Maybe what you need today is a smile and a laugh. Is it okay if you smile and laugh at the house of God?
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it also says a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I want you to get a picture of a zombie. That's what a crushed spirit will do to you. It just dries you up. It shrivels you up. Maybe a mummy, something that is wrapped up and it is just, it's gone, absolutely gross. There's no more life left in it. A crushed spirit will dry up your bones, but a cheerful heart, that is some good medicines. As humans, we enjoy laughing, don't we? Absolutely. The God of fun created us for laughter. We love jokes. Is anybody a good joke teller? I am not a good joke teller, but I am great to tell jokes to because I will laugh. But just without a doubt, I asked Jacob walking in, "Hey man, what are some jokes, you know?" And I try to remember some of these. He told them much better. But what do you call a cow with no legs?
Ground beef.
Ground beef. Very good. Excellent. He also, he said, have you heard about the new book? And I was like, what book is that? And he's like, it's the anti-gravity book. I'm like, no, I haven't heard about that. And he says, it's hard to put down. All right. And then he told one about constipation. I'll spare you that one. All right. Yeah. What makes a good joke? What makes a funny, laugh out loud, everyone laugh joke? I would tell you today that it is the punchline.
All right.
It's the punchline. What's a punchline? The punchline is the final phrase or sentence of a joke or story. And that's the thing that provides the humor. That's the punchline. It's like, wait for it, punchline, everyone laughs. The punchline adds a crucial unknown. Everyone say unknown.
Unknown.
And it adds something unexpected. Say unexpected.
Unexpected.
An unknown or unexpected element is added to the story that is humorous, and that is the science of fun right there. That's what makes jokes funny. Unknown and unexpected info will always make you laugh.
All right.
It'll make you laugh. It can make you cry too. I've got children. All right. One day, three travelers visited Abraham. We know Abraham in the Old Testament. We're looking in the book of Genesis right here. Three travelers came to visit Abraham. These were not ordinary travelers. One of these travelers was God.
Yeah.
It's revealed later that one of the three travelers is God, and the other two are angels. It is kind of funny to me that God shows up as a traveler. God doesn't show up by saying, "Hello, it's me, God, how are you? Hey, make me something to eat. Abraham, how we doing? Let's talk." Instead, God shows up as a passerby. It is unknown and it is unexpected. God is often very funny because how he comes across is totally unexpected and totally unknown. Genesis chapter 18, verse 9. Let's look at this. If you got a moment, look up at this screen. We got it right here, or you could pick it up on your phone or your Bible. Here we go. Genesis 18 and 9. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked Abraham. "They're in the tent," he said. Verse 10. "Then one of them said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son.' Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind them." So she's behind them. They can't see her, but she's hearing them. They can't see that she's there. Genesis 18:11. "Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing." Verse 12. "So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?'" Sarah laughed. She laughed. Another way to say it, which like King James Version says it like this, Sarah mocked. Sarah mocked. What did she mock? What did she laugh at? The promise of God. And if you know anything about the Bible, this is an important promise of God. Think of all that hinges on this promise of a son born to Abraham and Sarah. She laughs. She mocks the promise. Why? Why does she do it? Well, it was unknown, and it was certainly unexpected. You following me? You following? She thought it was a punchline. It was the promise of God, but she thought she's walking up and she hears it. Have you ever overheard something and just laughed about it? Like, what? They didn't say that right? Or did they hear themselves? Could they? She walks up hearing the promise come straight from the mouth of God, but she thought it was a punchline, and so she laughed. Sometimes God will speak to you about unknown things, unexpected promises, and you may think, "God, you're joking. Go, you are so funny, God." Someone probably laughed at the moment when God told Joseph to march around Jericho. Because that seemed ridiculous. "Here's the deal, guys. I want you to go in there and defeat that huge kingdom with the huge walls." "All right, God, how do we do it?" "All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around it." "All right. And then what?" "And then walk around it." "Oh yeah. And God, then what do we do?" "I want you to walk around it." "Okay. What do we do the next day?" "Well, I want you to walk around it." "And what the next walk around? When are you going to get to the arrows and the spears, God?" It's like, walk around it and then blow the trumpet. That's what someone had to laugh when Joseph told them that story and told them, "This is what we're going to do." How about someone definitely laughed when God gave Noah instructions for an ark? Right? Rain, there had never been rain before. Someone laughed. How about when a burning bush told Moses to go up to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go"? All right, so Moses, let me get this right. You're walking out in the wilderness, and there was a bush that was on fire, and it started to talk to you. "That's so good. Could you just lay down for a moment? Just maybe have some water. I'm worried about you." Like, someone laughed at that, all right? Go up to the strongest leader in the world, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and demand of him to let a million slaves go? Yeah, good luck with that. How about someone probably laughed when an angel told Mary that she was going to have a virgin birth, and that virgin birth would end up being Jesus, the Messiah, who would save his people from their sins? Somebody laughed. Someone snickered. Somebody made fun of that moment. When God told you that he was going to use you, someone might have laughed. When God says, "I've got a purpose for you, and I'm going to give you everything you need, and I'm going to put you in front of the right person at the right time, and I'm going to give you the words to say, somebody might have laughed. The time you felt God move in you and you told somebody else, somebody might have scoffed, somebody might have mocked, somebody might have laughed. But let me be very clear to you today. God's promises are not punchlines. Can you say that with me? Maybe you look at somebody and say, God's promises are not punchlines. Sarah thought God's promise was a punchline, something to be laughed at. Have you ever laughed at the wrong part of a joke? I would do that when I was young. My kids do that now. They walk up, they're like, knock, knock. And I'm like, who's there? And they're like, ah, ha, 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 ha. It's like, wait, we don't know how this works. You can laugh at the wrong part of a joke. I'm really bad about that because I know the punchline's coming, and I think about what the punchline could be, and I just start laughing already. I ruin jokes that way. Look at how God responds to this perceived punchline. Look how he responds to her laughing in Genesis chapter 18, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Uh-oh. God didn't laugh. Awkward moment. It's awkward when you laugh at something and then the whole room goes, no, that's really very serious. It's very insensitive of you to laugh about that. Right. This is one of those moments, right? If she was carrying a tray, she might drop it. Something like that. God did not laugh. In fact, God doesn't understand why Sarah is laughing at the improper time. God doesn't ask many questions. He asks Abraham, why is she laughing? Sarah laughed. Sarah mocked, and she mocked the promise of God. She didn't mean to insult God. I believe that. Right? I believe that. I don't have a scripture that says that. But I believe that she didn't mean to insult God. She didn't mean to say, God, you're dumb. She didn't mean to say that. She actually probably meant, if she's anything like me, she meant to laugh like at herself. Have you ever laughed at yourself? Yes. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? You see, she's not laughing at God in her mind. She's laughing at herself. Ha, likely story. Look how worn out I am. Look how old I am and Abraham. We are old. We're past that time. And now that's going to happen? A likely story. You follow me? You see what's happening here? But God didn't laugh at that either. God didn't think the making fun of his promise was worthy of laughter. But he also didn't think making fun of yourself, Sarah, was any fun. That is not funny. It's not funny to put yourself down. It's not funny to think you can't. It's not funny to say there's no more hope for me. It's not funny to look at yourself and say, I am all washed up. I am worn out. Nothing good can come out of my life anymore. If you're saying that, let me tell you, that is something you are never going to get a laugh from God over. He's going to ask questions like, why in the world are you saying things like that? God's promises are not punchlines, but guess what? You are not a punchline. You are not a joke. God is not kidding around when it comes to you. Amen. Sarah was laughing at herself, and she was laughing at her situation. She was laughing at her inability given the circumstances. This unknown and this unexpected promise was juxtaposed. It was set right beside her current situation. And it made her laugh like some sort of cheap joke. There's some things in humor that when you put them together, that's what makes them funny. And so here's my reality. I am no good. I'm worn out. And here's the promise of God. I'm actually going to have a son. And you put those two things together, right, juxtaposed. And she laughed and said, that's ridiculous. Those two things don't belong near each other. When Sarah mocked herself, She was mocking God's promise. And the same is true of us. When you mock yourself, you're mocking God's promise. When you're mocking who you are and what you can do and how valuable you are, and you laugh at yourself, when you self-deprecate yourself, when you put yourself down, you are mocking God's promise. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I say this not in a way to puff up your ego, but I say it in a way to set the record straight. You are a big deal. You are important. You matter a lot. And it's no laughing matter when it comes to you. There is a difference in a joyful, uncontrollable laughter. If you know my dad, Clyde Fluitt, you know some joyful, uncontrollable laughter. He's got just this bellowing, ah, ha, 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 ha. We were at Disney World and there was a mime up on stage. You know, mimes aren't supposed to talk. The deal with mimes, right? And this mime's doing stuff, and everybody's just really quietly watching the mime. And he does the thing with, he's in a box right here, and my dad just lets out, ha, ha, ha. He just goes to town, and the mime goes, what? The mime talked. He was blown away by my dad's laughter. My dad has this uncontrollable laughter. If you hear my dad laugh, you'll be laughing quickly too. Whenever I got separated from my dad in a crowd, I would just wait to hear his laugh because you could hear it over anything. There is a difference between an uncontrollable laughter that just bubbles up and a mocking, self-deprecating jab at oneself. Those are different. It is possible to laugh on the outside, but to feel sadness on the inside. It's possible to go along with the crowd and go ahead and chuckle a little bit, but on the inside, you are dying. Don't you think that although Sarah laughed on the outside, she was experiencing disappointment on the inside? She wanted nothing more than to have a son. She wanted to have a baby. She wanted all those things. She wanted to see Abraham be a father. She wanted to hold a baby in her arms. She wanted to name that baby. She wanted to see him grow up. She wanted to see grandchildren. She wanted to see these things. And none of those things happened, and none of those things seemed possible anymore. And although she's laughing on the outside, she is dying with this disappointment on the inside. Sarah was feeling loss. You ever experience loss? Oh, it hurts. She was feeling loss, and she received the promise as a punchline. So she mocked God and his promise. Sarah, you are not the punchline. Sarah, you are not the joke. Abraham will be the father of many nations, and you will be the mother. It will happen. Sarah, from your womb will come kings. Kings that will sit on the throne of Israel. They're going to come from you, Sarah. Sarah, from your womb will come strong and mighty men who slay giants, who slay unbelievable amounts of armies, who stand up to foes greater than them and shut them down. Sarah, out of your womb, out of your lineage, will come the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and he's going to save everybody in the world. Look at somebody and say this, I ain't playing. Get a little attitude in it. Go ahead. I ain't playing. That is what God would say to Sarah. All right. And that's what God would say to you today. I ain't playing. Everything I've done in my word, you think I'm joking about this? When I say I love you and you're more than a conqueror through my love, did you think that was a joke? When it says that you can do all things through Christ, did you think that was a funny line? When I said I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, did you find that funny? Somebody say, I ain't playing.
I ain't playing.
God's not playing. He wants you to understand that. This is not a joke. Every one of His promises in the Bible are absolutely true. They aren't to be laughed at. They're to be held on to for the rest of your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Man, I talk to people on the phone sometimes. I remember one such conversation I had with somebody. I love this person to death. But this person said, listen, you're called and I'm not. You see, you're doing ministry because you're called to do that. But you know what? I'm sitting over here as a drunk alcoholic doing nothing with my life and being depressed because I ain't called. You're called and I'm not. Oh man, get a dose of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, friend. That's what I told him. But you, who? Somebody say it. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Is that scripture for anybody in the house today? Everybody ought to raise their hand. That scripture is for you. That's you. But you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Do you understand that? Let's break this down. You have kings with crowns and you have priests in robes, and you're both of them. You're the priest that can go into the Holy of Holies. And you are also the king that's sitting in power and authority. You're both of them. You're both of them. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. If you believe that, could you clap your hands in the house of God? I believe it. That's my promise. That's not a punchline. That's my promise. Oh, man. No one laughs at the fulfilled promise. They laugh at the promise before it happens. Sure, absolutely. No one laughs at the fulfilled promise of God. Genesis chapter 21, this is just a few chapters later, three chapters later, beginning at verse 1. Read this with me. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. Verse 2, Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Verse 3, Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. Everyone said Isaac. Do you know what the name Isaac means? It means laughter. She got it. All right. Preaching with me now, sister. All right. It means laughter. It means joy. Do you think it means mockery? Do you think it means an uncontrollable bellowing, an uncontrollable bubbling, an uncontrollable joy that just escapes you and laughs? Yeah, that's what that name means. I'm going to name this child Laughter. Isaac was named Laughter. Genesis chapter 21, verse 6. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. I want you to notice something really important. Notice that it doesn't say, laugh at me. Right. You see, when she received the promise, she thought, I can't tell anybody that. They're all going to laugh at me. I can't possibly have a child just look at me. I am falling apart. It doesn't say, laugh at you, Sarah. It says they're going to laugh with you. She was mocking herself and writing herself off, but then God fulfills the promise. And now she and everybody who hears about the promise is going to experience the same joy. You're going to receive a joy through the promise of God that doesn't stay with you. Everybody who hears about it is going to laugh with you. Everybody that hears about your testimony is going to celebrate with you. Anybody believe it? The God of fun gives laughter. He's the one that gives it. It comes from Him. Genesis chapter 21, verse 7, the very next verse. And she added, who would have said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Who would have said, can you say that with me? Who would have said, who would have thought, who would have ever thought, who would have even come up with the idea that I would be nursing a child and Abraham would be a father in his old age? God's fulfilled promise made her laugh, not with a mockery kind of laughter, but with real joy laughter. It's been a while since you have had that real kind of joy laughter. I want to tell you, God wants to give that to you today.
All right.
Do you have a story that's a little bit like, who would have thought? Do you have one of those stories? Does anybody have a story like, who would have thought that God would have dot, dot, dot? Oh, I got some. When was the last time you shared that story? You need to share that story, because the promise is that you are going to experience joy when you have that story, and others are going to experience joy when they hear that story. If you are like a sourpuss today, maybe the problem is you aren't telling that story. Maybe you've let that story just live in the past. Can I tell you a story? I'm forgiven of all my sins. Can I tell you a story? I used to be depressed and suicidal, but then I found out that God loves me and His perfect love casts out all my fear. Can I tell you that all my sins are washed away in a watery grave in the name of Jesus? I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm filled with His Spirit. Oh man, let me tell you, it brings joy to me. Does it bring joy to you? Is that your story too? Hallelujah. Yes. Who would have ever said? Who would have ever thought? Man, you got those stories? If you don't have one of those stories, God wants to give you one of those stories today. You need to learn how to testify with joy. You need to learn how to... I grew up in a church. Anybody grow up in a church that had testimony service? Y'all know what testimony service is? Anybody know about testimony service? Man, they would just open up and say, who wants to say something good about the Lord? And people would come up. And it didn't matter if it was 20 years ago, if it was 20 seconds ago, they would share what the Lord had done to them. Church, we need that.
Yeah, all right.
Church, we need to be people that testify. The Bible says that we're made overcomers by two things. One of them is the blood of the Lamb. The other one is the word of our testimony. Oh my goodness, you need to share that story, because that story, it brings joy to you, it brings joy to others, and it makes you an overcomer. God wants to take you from mockery to true laughter.
All right.
I want to remind you that God's promises are not punchlines, and you are not a punchline, but every good joke has a punchline. So where's our punchline here? Oh, we got one. We got a punchline. You see, this punchline lands about 2,000 years later.
All right.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins, that's not the part to laugh at yet, and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, not that either, God made you alive with Christ. That's good. He forgave us all our sins. Next verse, 14. And having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So far, we have the setup. We have the good story. These are good things, but it's not the punchline yet. Verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's the punchline.
Amen.
That's the funny part. Stick with me. Stick with me right here. You see, the word for spectacle is dogmatizo. Can you say dogmatizo? It's the word for spectacle. It is the word used for fool. It's the word used for jester. Do you know what a jester is? Before the king would come into a room, before the king would make his entry, they would send in a spectacle. They'd send in a fool. They'd send in a jester to make all the people laugh. And the jester, could he do anything right? No, the jester's tripping over himself. The jester's trying to juggle, but they hit his head. There's nothing serious about the jester. The jester is a joke. And everyone's expecting the king, the royal majesty, to come in. But instead, this blubbering idiot comes in, and that's just funny right there. That is what spectacle is. That's what the fool is. That's what the jester is. The jester is the punchline that everyone would laugh at. What is the punchline in verse 15? Look at it. Bring that verse up one more time. Come on. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the powers of Satan. We're talking about the power of sin. We're talking about the power of death. What happened to that power? It's disarmed. Had a gun, whoop, you don't have a gun anymore. Had a sword, whoop, you don't have a sword anymore. Had authority over us, doesn't have it anymore. Now this power is disarmed. It can't do anything right. It tries to have power over you, but it doesn't have that power anymore. And now it is led out in front of the true king who is on his way, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming to make an entry. He's coming back into the world. You better believe it. He's coming. But before he comes, he is kicking out Satan. He's kicking out the power of sin. And he's kicking out the power of death. And they are the jester that's going before the true King of kings and the true Lord of lords.
Hallelujah.
Satan is the punchline. Your enemy is the punchline. The thing that you've been afraid of, God wants to turn it into the biggest joke, the best joke that was ever told. Hey, you want to hear a good joke? Remember that time that Satan tried to ruin your life? Oh, yeah, not going to work. You remember that time that Satan said that, you know, God doesn't love you? What an idiot. Remember that time Satan said he's got control over you? What a joke. That, my friends, is the biggest joke in the world right there. The power, his biggest power, is going to be led in front of Jesus Christ like a jester, like a fool. And when we read in Revelation, we're told prophetically that we see Satan bound on a chain. And there are 12 angels holding him. I love to preach this part right here. No, there's not 12. There are 6 angels. Really big. Well, no, there weren't 6. Well, at least it was a named angel like, you know, Michael or something. No. It says that he was bound by a single nameless angel. He's got him on a chain. He's like, go. Get up. Get up, Satan. Go. He's got him on a chain. One nameless angel. Satan is a joke. Satan is the biggest punchline. He has been telling you things for far too long. That dude's a joke. That dude's a joke, and the true king is coming. I want to tell you one more scripture. It says that, you know, Satan says that you're going to hell. Satan says that you are full of shame and sin. The Bible tells us this, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Can I tell you that you are sitting where kings sit? You are sitting where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sits. And that's not, if you read that scripture, it doesn't say one day, it says right now. We are currently seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Yes. Amen.
Do we serve a good God?
Yeah.
Do we serve an awesome God?
Amen.
You're not the joke. Don't you dare laugh at yourself. Don't you dare put yourself down. Sarah, your seed will give way to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and he's going to bring victory for everyone. Close your eyes real quick in this place. I just want to speak to you. Your enemy is a joke. I'm not trying to make light of your situation. But when we look at the reality of the God you serve that loves you, and the reality of your hurt, and the reality of your fear, and the reality of your condition, it's a huge overmatched situation for your worst problem. God is the power above all powers, and he is your God, and he loves you. I think you can look up. I think it's about time that we laughed at the enemy. I think it's time that we made fun of him and we didn't stand for him making fun of us, making fun of our dreams, making fun of the power that God has put in us. At Redemption Church, we do three things every time we come together. We worship the Lord together, and we've done that. We receive the Word of God together, and we just did that. Right now, I want us to do the third thing, and it's such an important thing. We talk to God. Right now, all over this place, I want us to begin to talk to the Lord. That's what prayer is. I want you to talk to him. I want you to talk to him about your fear. I want you to talk to him about maybe you've been laughing at the wrong things. Maybe you've been laughing at what he's trying to call you into. It's time to stop laughing at that. Maybe you need to start laughing at the enemy and really experiencing the victory that God has for you. I want you to come and pray in these altars. Why don't you come? These altars are open. If you have special prayer that you need in this house, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. When you come up here, it just tells us that you want somebody to pray with you, and I'll come pray with you. We will come pray with you. We know that God has got big things for you. He's got big promises for you, and his promises are not a punchline, and neither are you. Father, I thank you for every person in this house. Lord, bless this day and bless this moment, God. Let us walk right into the center of what you have for us, God. Lord, let us realize that you are not making fun of us, but you are clothing us in righteousness. You are not making us the joke. You're making us the victor. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. Anybody that has a need, I want you to meet their need today. I want them to come into contact with the God of all eternity in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to the Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.